yourself at home, do your do. Welcome to my pad, this your lab, go create your mood.
I got a crib by the water, say me casa, su casa, it feels like Casablanca, shout it, you my little mama. I got a crib.
What's good, everybody? It's 99 Miles Per Hour with Percy Garner, and we got a special episode today. But before we get to our guest, I just want to remind you guys, I have a Discord, talking baseball, talking everything. The link to that will be down below. I also have a merch store, and anything you want to do, if you want to connect with me, just go to percygarner.com, and that is spelled with an I. Now, today's episode would not be possible without our friends at Big Time Sports. If you guys want to know anything sports, local, and when I mean local, I don't mean just Tuscarawas County. I mean every surrounding county, Stark County and above, when you get to the big schools, Massa, McKinley, Akron, Hoban, stuff like that. Big Time Sports is where you want to go. And I'm also a guest host on their podcast. And sometimes you might see me on their Big Time Sports show because Charlie's getting tired and old. But thanks, Charlie, for sponsoring the podcast. Hopefully you still want to after that comment. But now we are getting to our guest. So our guest that we have today, I met not too long ago. I want to say a couple weeks ago. And I just knew halfway through hearing him speak and kind of just, you know, I was getting ready to coach this team of this very important season. And, you know, having the opportunity to have this training meant a lot. And just as soon as I was like, okay, I got to have this guy on the podcast. I hope he accepts. I went up to him right after he gave the training and gladly he accepted. So before we, you know, give you his name, I just want to run down a little bit. So we talked a little about this. He's been a teacher and a coach, but he coached at Strongsville for 17 years. He coached girls soccer, where he appeared in 6 state championships and won 3. I'm jealous because I've never made it to the state championship game. So congratulations to him for that. And now he's decided to work for his daughter. I can't wait to get into that. But he's also assistant principal at Elyria High School. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Todd Church. How are you, Todd?
Very good, Percy. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here.
Well, I'm thankful to have you here. I'm excited to kind of get into our, you know, what I want to talk about, which, you know, we're going to hit on, obviously, your coaching career. And I'm glad you reminded me. I totally forgot about you, I guess, working for your daughter and being an assistant coach for her. I can't wait to get into that dynamic because, you know, that's going to be great. But I also want to talk about a little bit of what you shared during the Armor Sports training. And then obviously, you know, coaching career, and then how you kind of ended up at Positive Coaching Alliance, which we're going to refer to as PCA from now on. So we don't have to say that every time. But you know, current event wise, I was, you know, cruising social media and I saw that PCA has their PCA Game Changers Awards and Benefits kind of event. Now, can you tell me a little bit about that?
That in Cleveland just a couple weeks ago, is that? That's
what there was one in coming up March 20, but tell me about the one in Cleveland.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a lot about that.
Okay. Okay. Sure. All right.
Caught me off guard with that. The Game Changer Awards. They PCA does a lot in our area, not just awards, but, you know, workshops and, you know, tools and instruction for coaches, players and parents alike. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, I did see, because you know, I was looking at the website, and I did see there's, because I was assuming you hear Positive Coaching Alliance, that is stuff only for coaches, but they teach players how to, you know, I guess win the game in 3 different aspects, which is pretty cool. I was like, okay, that's good for players to learn. You know, I wish I would have had that resource, but actually this dates back a while. I thought it was something new because I'd never heard of it. Then I saw one of my close friends who's coach at Wilmington, Micah Mills. He followed them on social media, and I'm like, dang. And there's some big names. And then they were at All-Star Weekend. So it's a lot of big things that, you know, PCA is doing. And I think it's awesome. And I appreciate you coming and, you know, speaking to us Armor Sports coaches and getting us ready for the season. But I kind of want to, you know, we'll get into your whole coaching career and stuff like that. But I kind of want to hit on, because I feel like there's going to be some humor in the relationship you have with your daughter. And now you're, you know, being an assistant for her. Can you kind of give us a little quick thing before we dive deep? But just, you know, how was that? I guess I don't think there's many parents or that have been put in that position where they're kind of following their daughter or being an assistant after you've been a successful coach yourself.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
But I'm blessed. Both of our daughters played for us at Strongsville High School. That was a blessing in itself. We got to spend so much time through the game together. you know, ups and downs, everything in between. That was great. But then, you know, after 17 years of being in a program with high expectations that takes a lot of energy, you know, I decided to step away and chase some other things. And then my daughter took over as head coach at Elyria High. And that's when I was like, that would be kind of fun. And she actually pitched the idea to me. I didn't come to her, which was cool. Like, she still wanted me to be around, which was great, you know. But yeah, it's been so cool to watch her go on her coaching journey now. And she has a lot of the same principles and shares a lot of the same ideas that I do, because we spent so much time together through the program. So it's been an interesting journey. Now, Elyria is much different than Strongsville in terms of girls soccer, because it's a full rebuild there. Her first year, there were 6 returning players, which you're not even going to have a program at that point.
Yeah.
So she gathered enough kids, and now we're growing it. And, you know, we're looking at the mid-20s for a program and some quality. So yeah, it's been a great journey.
Now, real quick, I mean, I guess from your experience, like, how is that where I feel like that would be really daunting for me? And obviously I'm not a coach, you know, per se. I know I coach my son and 4th, 5th, and 6th graders basketball, but nothing super competitive. At Armour Sports, we're trying to, you know, teach the Bible and teach characteristics and stuff like that, which you're trying to do that too. But,
yep,
you know, the school's not just going to say, hey, well, Todd's out there, you know, teaching them good life lessons. Yep. They won't win. So, you know, I guess from someone like me who's never coached in a real competitive atmosphere, how is like making that, I guess, that switch where you're at Strongsville and then going to build a program?
I think it was the switch from going to a head coach to an assistant coach. I think I am a much better assistant coach now, having been a head coach. You just don't know what you don't know until you get into that top spot. So I feel like for Alyssa, I can be a much better assistant coach because I know what the head coach is going through because I've been there. So that's been really good. The mindset of, you know, it's really is the same. The same approach. You're just trying to help people get better at the end of the day. We did the same thing at Strongsville, same thing in Elyria. It's just about where your focus has shifted and your mindset has shifted, you know, to, you know, we just love working with young athletes, and it's been a great journey. Wins or losses, you know, are part of it. You're going to lose, you're going to win. But at the end of the day, you know, the relationships you build with these athletes and the support that you give them, and the support they give us, like, it's a two-way street. Like, a lot of athletes have poured back into us, which has been phenomenal too. So it's been a great journey.
Yeah, I like that, because I still get a coach, a text. I feel like I should text my coach more often, but my college baseball coach, who has had his journey, he's been at Ohio State and a lot of different schools, and, you know, he's been successful, and you know, I get a text from him like every Thanksgiving. It's a whole group from all of his former players.
That's
and
amazing.
You know, that's still like that's so dope just to have that, you yep. know, to always come back to. And I'm trying to still get involved with the program, but Ball State being so far away,
yeah,
it's rough. But I think my coach now is at Marshall, but, you know, I wish him the best. But it's just cool to have those, you know, moments where you can maybe come back and speak to the team or something like that. So yes. that's also pretty cool that yep. You know, you have that opportunity.
Yep.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the principles that you were, you know, going over at the Armour Sports training. Now, there's only one thing that really stuck out to me. I took notes, but the thing that I don't need my notebook to remember was the quote. And you said it was like a paraphrase that you had taken, but it was talking about the flower and, you know, you don't need to, you know, change the flower. You need to change the flower's environment.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I was always like, well, parenting and coaching, because in that training, you were talking how both are very similar and how you got to, you know, the young people, they're very important and how you got to treat them. And for me, I'm like, well, this is how a parent, my kids got to adapt. But yep. kind of what you're teaching was, obviously, we're the ones with the developed brains. We're the ones who have had more wisdom in life. So we should be the ones that have to adapt because we're more capable of doing that.
Yep.
And I just kind of talk about that for a little bit, but just because for me, that hit me where I was like, dang, immediately I'm going home and I'm like, all right, I gotta adjust some things here yeah. in this household and the way I parent my kids.
Gosh, yeah, that kind of hit me. I'm involved with another group called What Drives Winning, and Brett Ledbetter and Becky Burley, and they're the ones that kind of went through that exercise that, like, what do athletes today have to go through that you did not? And I think that really gets you thinking, where there's a lot of things that haven't changed. Timeless truths are always going to be there. You know, tell the truth, be on time. All those things are going to exist. But what athletes are going through and kids are going through now is much different than what we went through when we were younger. And you're younger than me. Like, I've got a lump way different for me. So, but like, that helps you frame, like, as coaches and as a parent, you know, we have to adapt and create that environment for our kids to thrive and to give them the tools to navigate the world that they have today. And I think that's really important in terms of getting you to think about, okay, how do I need to shape the environment? Because environment's where it's all at. You know, I think culture is, for me, is like a lot of people talk about it, but that's the long game. You know, I think environment is the today. Can we make the environment right now the best it possibly is so these kids can thrive today? Mm. So,
okay.
That's kind of where I started.
I like that. All right. I'm going to have to watch this episode back to catch. But I like it. I like it. And I know that it's a challenge. A lot of parents, coaches, you want to say this is the way, yep. You know, but I think it speaks a lot of to how you've obviously been a successful coach. And successful coaches, you know, you'll hear players talk about coaches that they love. You know, the famous coaches, you know, if we talk about Coach Popovich with the Spurs,
yep.
There's no way he coached everyone the same and has been this successful this long. So that's definitely something when you're coaching youth, and it may not be, hey, you know, I'm coaching a travel team that our goal is to win a state championship. But it's just to, like you said, no matter where you're at, if you're at Strongsville or Elyria, you're trying to make that group that you have better.
Yep.
And I mean, that's obviously, if you're doing that and you take that approach every day, I think, you know, because most people, like LeBron always says, oh, we got to get better every day, you know, and that's always his answer. But I mean, it may be boring, it may be cliche, but it's the truth.
Yes.
And, but that's the challenging part.
Yep.
You know, people like to put the goals way down line. And I love that you said culture is like a long term or like an end goal.
Yep.
And the environment is what you got to do today. You know, I got practice tomorrow, so I'm gonna be taking that. And I made a bet with my team that I got to get them some Prime, and we also get to play knockout before the next game.
Oh, because knockout. Gotta love knockout. Yes.
But some of our players are from Arizona, and they call it bump out or something.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And they're allowed to hit people's ball. I'm like, hey, in Ohio, we have manners. We Ohio don't bump. Yes. We don't bump the ball. So, but you know, obviously that had an immediate impact on me. The training that we did in Armor Sports. And it made me more interested in you. And I kind of want to dive more into kind of how you got into coaching, one, and then just explain, you know, some of the experiences that you remember most about your coaching career as an assistant and head coach at Strongsville, and kind of how you even got to Strongsville.
Yeah. Well, how I got there is a pretty cool story. The guy that was coaching Strongsville from 98 on, was a very good friend of mine. We grew up together in Elyria. We started playing soccer together when we were in seventh grade. So you're talking a 40 year plus friendship. It's still going on today. So he was at Strongsville. I was still I was getting into coaching a little bit. And then he gave me a shot. You know, he brought me in as a JV coach, probably before I deserved to be a coach at that level, but he gave me a shot. So I got to work with my best friend and learn and fail in so many different ways. I made so many mistakes, but I think one of the light bulb moments for me was our program in Strongsville. We were very, very fortunate. We had depth of numbers and quality, you know. So my JV team, a lot of those kids went on to play Division I soccer. I mean, they were really high quality. So,
okay.
But early in my career, I think like most 25-year-olds, 27, you're chasing wins. And, you know, one year I had a good team, but we couldn't win. And I was like, what is wrong? We've got plenty of talent. We're not doing it. And John Felton, the head coach, he had already won a couple state championships before I got there. He said, you need to read this book. And the book was Lead for God's Sake by Todd Conquer. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I haven't, but I'm going to have to remind me at the end so I can put that in my read watch list.
And it's just a quick read, basketball oriented. But it has you explore your why and teaches you to lead from your heart. And that just woke me up, like that there's a whole human side to coaching, you know. And the reality is coaching a game in a lot of respects is the easy part. You figure out the tactics, you know, what works, practice plans. But what keeps a team from being successful more often than not is entitlement, negative attitude, poor leadership skills, all these human related elements. And that's what kind of started to get me on the path of seeking out organizations like Positive Coaching Alliance that give you tools, and they're on top of what's happening today with today's athletes. And it really unlocked a lot of different things for me. It changed my approach completely. Wow. For the better, you know, no question.
That's nice. I mean, when I like think of successful coaches, a lot of them, I would say pretty much all of them, they never really say, you know, hey, they don't really talk about how great they are, or, you know, most of them are like, oh, I studied this and I did this by myself. You never hear that. I mean, you may hear a player or two say something like that, yeah. But like coaches are always, you know, attributing their success to either their team or a mentor who helped them get, you know, into the spot where they are, or just kind of help them develop their skills, give them a chance to fail, because yep. We all need that. So I think that's, you know, obviously you're holding up that end of the bargain. And I think it's true though. I mean, even me as an athlete, like I was talking to you before we started recording, is yes, there was a lot of hard work that went into it, but it's not like I wanted to do that hard work all the time. I had coaches, you know, other players hold me accountable. So, and I've never played an individual sport. So every sport that I've played has been a team sport. So, and I talked about this with some younger athletes where, you know, we were talking about wrestling on a different show, and I was just like, that is a whole different animal. But I think it's important that, you know, people hear that and realize like, okay, being selfish or just focusing on yourself is really, you know, it's great to work out and have determination and have your personal goals. Don't get me wrong there. But when you, and I think I just saw someone post this on Twitter, but when you focus on the things you just talked about, and instead of, you know, wins and stats, you know, things, all those other things start to take care of themselves. But when you focus on team and what your responsibility is to help your teammate to be, you know, a leader, whether that is just going out and leading by example or speaking to a teammate who maybe is down and has a negative attitude and being able to rectify that as a player, because I'm sure as a coach, you could say, if you have players that are an extension of you, your team's going to be successful. Yep. So that is one thing I wanted to touch on. But so you talked about how you got at Strongsville. But for me, obviously not being in the, you know, never making it to state, being really close, but then I fumbled the ball, literally, in the game, in my last high school football game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, made the fumble after we just had some miraculous play where they're going in to score to put the game away. And then one of my teammates knocked the fumble out, made that guy fumble and knocked it out of the end zone. So then we got the ball back. And I was like, coach, give me the ball. And then I fumbled. But hey, we are who we are because of our failures. So. Shape, yes. But I don't think about that ever, you know. but could you, I guess, relate back to the moments where you were like, when you is even as an assistant, as a head coach, when you won the state championship and you were just like, so what were some of the thoughts you had? Because, you know, you always hear athletes saying it's surreal. You know, I can't believe it, because they're in the moment and, you know, you're just overwhelmed with excitement and joy. But was there things where you're like, okay, this is what I want to take into the next season? Because I think this was one of the main reasons that we won that state championship.
Right. Well, I think the biggest lesson I learned, you know, I remember thinking, you know, when you start coaching, that's your aspiration. When you coach high school, you want to win a state title. And then when we got there in 05, my first year, and we won it. I remember standing on the field and I'm like, I made it. This is it. I did it. We're here. But I will tell you, the very next day I woke up and you know what I wanted? I wanted to another do it again.
Yeah.
And that taught me a real, real important lesson, and Positive Coaching Alliance hits this real hard too. If you are only chasing wins and championships, in a lot of respects, it comes up empty, because it is a kind of an addiction almost.
Yeah.
And it can pull you out of what's really important to you if you're not careful. and it's an endless cycle. It's just like chasing money.
Yeah.
You know, you get money, you want more. And it's the same with that. So, you know, that really was a huge wake up call and a lesson for me to tell me, like, you know what, appreciate the journey more than the championships. The grind, the tough times, like those are amazing moments. The other things may or may not happen, but the journey itself, there's so much along the way. So that was probably the biggest lesson I learned, you know, to not just chase that championship, you know, to appreciate the journey.
I kind of fell victim to that though, except I wasn't chasing wins. I mean, wins are in minor league baseball. Obviously you want to win. But most of the time, guys are looking at their stats, you know, their ERA, their batting average, because they want to advance to get to the big leagues. And I fell victim hard to everything. I was addicted to everything that I couldn't control. I love focusing on that stuff for some reason. And it kind of got to a point where it hit me. I'm like, dude, what am I doing? And it was an addiction, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people, you know, everybody loves winning.
Yep.
For, you know, but I feel like some people hate losing more than they love winning.
Yeah.
But also, you know, now that, I mean, how many years have you been at Elyria as your daughter's assistant?
This will be year number 3.
Okay.
So this is just recent.
Gotcha. Awesome. Now for me, when, you know, looking at that as an outsider, being in a coaching position when you've already, you know, been so successful, like, what were your initial thoughts? And I kind of want to go back to when your daughter asked you, what were your initial thoughts? Because I want to get into, you know, how PCA came about, and I want to dive into more information about that. But before we get to that, I just feel like I want to know, like, what was your immediate thoughts? If you can be as honest as possible, because, you know, for me, if I was in your position and my daughter was like, hey, do you want to be my assistant? I don't know if I'd be like, well, I mean, unless you were tired of coaching, because one of my coaches that I've had, you know, got out of coaching and was waiting for an assistant spot to open up because he still loved the game and wanted to coach, but, you know, you got tired of all the parents. So, but I think it would just be difficult for most people, and I don't want to have the, you know, men, women dynamic, since it's different also because it's your own flesh and blood. But was there any moment where you're just like, huh, assistant? Or were you just like, this is dope, this is really cool, I want to do this?
Well, I think you're right. I was kind of seeing, you know, towards the end there at Strongsville, I was seeing, you know, and I think I'm ready for a change. And Alyssa had jumped in as an assistant at Elyria, then she got the head coaching job. So for me, it was just, you know, where I was at in Strongsville, there's not much room to grow, right? So it's really hard when you get to that top end to move anymore. So that excited me that we could come back to my hometown. That's where I played soccer at, kind of like you did coming back, you know, from making the big leagues to coming back to Dover. That excited me. And I was, you know, I felt good that my daughter wanted me to still be around, you know. I mean, that was, you know, a good feeling.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that it was an adjustment, you know, because there were some times when I would try to assert myself a little too much in that first year. And I'll never forget, we were in the middle of a game, and we get a corner kick, game's close, second half, and I just go right into coach mode, and I'm like, we've got to run, you know, this corner. And my daughter, to her credit, she stood up, she said, Dad, you know, pointed back to the bench, man, I got this. And all the girls on the sideline were just like, whoa, okay. But for me, I was like, after I thought about it, I'm like, that's awesome that she feels enough command to take it now. And I felt like that was her moment to take it. So that was kind of a fun story. I remember that in our first year together.
It kind of reminds me of when I took over the Rainbow Connection, and it's the local charity that I run. It didn't actually happen like that, but the old director, who was retiring, and I didn't mean old like she's old, but the director before me, if she sees this, don't kill me. She said, hey, I was like, hey, do you want to come to our, you know, because we have an annual fundraiser, like I was telling you before. And I was like, do you want to join us? And she's like, no, because if I'm there, people are going to look to me. I've led the Rainbow organization for 22 plus years. So they're going to look to me. and I want them looking to you. And she was obviously wise enough to understand that whole situation. Now people look at me when they think Rainbow Connection. So now she comes back and helps and stuff like that. So I always thought, I was like, wow, like I wouldn't even have thought about that. And then, you know, I might have been butthurt if like, hey, I'm the director now, guys. No,
but she sounds like an amazing person to be able to, you know, set your ego aside like that is.
Yeah, and she's not from this area. Okay. And she's, you know, Italian in New Jersey. So she's got a big ego.
I married an Italian from Jersey.
Okay.
So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so now I see why, you know, your daughter's so, you know, strong-willed. Yes. So that's good. But now I kind of want to, you know, dive more into PCA. So, you know, like I said at the beginning, you know, PCA is doing big things. I feel ashamed that I didn't know what PCA was. But now that I was on their social media page and I was looking at a lot of stuff on their website and, you know, obviously everything, the information that I've seen that they're, you know, trying to teach the kids, coaches and parents, I mean, it looks amazing. And I'm wish I kind of would have knew about this earlier, but it's never too late. So can you just share, I guess, how you got into PCA and kind of, you know, what intrigued you to be like, I want to be a part of that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about the Game Changers. I know what you're talking about now. Like, I got recognized in 2020 as a regional, you know, coach of significance winner. And that's when I met Ryan Virtue. And then he's the senior partnership manager for PCA in the central part of the country. He goes all the way down to Texas and through Ohio. He lives in Avon, which is neighboring to me in Sheffield. And we had some conversations and he talked, and he asked me if they were looking for another trainer in the Cleveland area. And I said, yes, I went through the process. And for me, it's just been a joy because I really enjoy the human performance side of sports. You know, I've worked with it for the last decade. And I think for me, it might be kind of like the next thing for me. I still enjoy coaching. And really through PCA, we're coaching coaches or we're coaching parents. And that intrigues me. And I really like the work that, you know, I think the workshops that Positive Coaching Alliance does their latest initiative is with body image. And that's, you know, they're at the forefront of the things that are going on in society and in youth sports as well. So that's what really interests me about Positive Coaching Alliance.
I saw
and like you said, you know, I wish I would have found that earlier in my career because, you know, I didn't have that side to me early in my career.
And I think there was a Super Bowl commercial about body image in like women's sports and girls sports
with Dove.
Yeah.
Positive Coaching Alliance partnered with Dove and that's their latest initiative.
Okay.
Which is important. Like being a middle school assistant principal, like middle school, everybody feels awkward. I remember that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little more pronounced now just because the lens of social media is so intense and 24/7. And every image these kids see is polished. And hopefully Josh makes me look halfway decent on this. But like, kids are very conscious of that. So I think they're doing great work in that regards, you know, staying ahead of the curve, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, that's dope because I just know there's certain things out there that, like you said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, I was like, you know, that's pretty cool because I know, you know, having a daughter that I talked about how she's into sports and, you know, she's just said today, like, Mom, I love sports, you know?
Yeah.
And then I see the decline in girls basketball, but hopefully, you know, that girl at Iowa can spark more women to play some basketball just because I always loved the game of basketball. It was my favorite sport. I just wasn't that as great as I was at football and baseball. But that's just, you know, and obviously having a daughter that was successful in sports, I think it's more important and more, I guess, pivotal to our society that we kind of look at these things seriously. Because back, I would say, you know, in your day, a lot of stuff wasn't all that, you know, be tougher or, you know, come on now, don't think like that. You know, you got to think this way. And there's no kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no room for variance, or, you know, this is the way you got to be.
Yep.
And if you're not, you got to get over it.
Yep. Yes, so, 100%.
I think it's very key to, you know, and I'm going to be looking at a lot of this stuff, because the way my daughter's already showed interest in sports, I want to make sure that I'm creating the right environment for her to thrive, and not, you know, which I don't know if you had trouble with the dad coach hat.
Of course,
you know, with your daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't always desire to be a coach, but sometimes when I'm in an area where I'm like, I think I could help the team more than certain people.
Yep.
And that's kind of where I'm in positions I'm at now. But
okay.
I think it's it's something that that's very important as we go forward, and especially sports, because I think sports are very important in life.
Oh yeah, it's the lab for life, man.
Yeah,
you get reps. You know, I mean, you get reps to deal with failure and resilience, and not as quite as high stakes as life itself, but that's where you get your reps at.
Yeah. Well, if you're like me, then you put more. You feel like it's the end of the world if you lose this, or if you pitch bad, if you do whatever, you know. And I'm sure people have heard me on this podcast say this a lot, but I used to go into restaurants thinking everybody could just see my stat line from the previous day.
Wow.
And I used to just put so much stock into that. But, you know, that's part of the reason now I'm like, okay, I'm in the real world now, and I know what matters now. Yes. Yeah. And I know sports got me ready for this.
Yep.
But at a certain point, I took a turn that kind of just – sports begin to not be fun, but now it's fun again. You know, I'm watching. I didn't even watch sports for the longest. Really? And once I started playing pro ball and I got consumed, I was just like, ugh, you know, and that's when I was like, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah.
But,
that's interesting here.
Yeah.
From the highest level. It's interesting here.
And there's other people that I was so jealous of, because they could just go out, compete, and not have any worry in the world. And I was just like, how do I get that? Mm. Like, I need that back. Because when I'd have that, it's a great feeling. And I'm sure there's times where you have that as a coach too, where you're like, you may, you know, kind of freeze up, and you just you're looking at all these expectations you have for yourself, and then you're not out there just free and loose and coaching your team.
Right.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up about, you know, PCA is the thing I really love is just the way they kind of deliver it. And I'm assuming in the training and when you're prepping and how you do these workshops,
yep,
that's part of how they trained you. But the way you deliver it, there's humor involved. It keeps your attention, because it's not like, hey, this is the material, go home and study this. Yeah. Like you put it in a way that people can, you know, remember and actually apply it,
yep,
to, you know, whether they're parenting or coaching, because I took more from it parenting than coaching, because I obviously don't coach. Yep. But maybe there's a future there. But kind of what was your take where you're finally like, where you just like, okay, you met, you know, Ryan, you got involved with PCA, and then you were like, okay, this, was it immediately, or was it you're like, eventually you're like, okay, this is something that I want to do from here on out, or is just like, I love this. I want to be involved with this, and I want to take it to the next level, and I want to share this with people. Kind of what was that moment for you?
Well, it kind of started like, in Elyria, I was very fortunate. Our superintendent, Ann Slosh, allowed me and another teacher to create a class for our seventh graders. And it was just called Foundations of Leadership. And they just gave us a clean slate. Wow. Character development, a lot of what you're doing at Armor, teaching the character skills, you know, that sort of thing. So all of our seventh graders get that for a semester. And I was doing that for a couple of years, and I really enjoyed it. During COVID, you know, we were interviewing people when people were sitting around just happy to talk, you know. So I got to talk to a lot of different people. And that's what kind of got me into, you know, I would love to coach coaches and parents and students, and I enjoy it. And so that's kind of what got me thinking about Positive Coaching Alliance. And I like, because it's in their name, positive. I appreciate that. But within my message, I think it's really important to say that positive does not mean soft.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, when they hear, oh, he's so positive, that like everybody gets a medal kind of thing. Yeah. That's not it. Like,
yeah.
And that's why I like Positive Coaching Alliance, because, you know, they say you need to have high standards. Positive doesn't mean lower your standards. It keep high standards. It's just about how you deliver your message and how you communicate with your individuals that you're working with. Now I go back to, you know, it can be as simple as if you're coaching basketball, kid comes down the floor, makes a bad pass or makes a good pass and the kid drops it out of bounds. 9 times out of 10, coach is going to go to the turnover. Reality is, hey man, that was a great pass. Kid knows he didn't receive it. You don't have to remind him of that. Right.
Yeah.
And just that mentality is contagious and it builds energy and it builds good energy. And that's what I really liked about Positive Coaching Alliance. So once I started digging into, you know, their messaging and their tools, and I'm like, I really do enjoy this. It makes me a better person. Like, I'm not great by any means at all. I've got my issue, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But this has made me better, you know? So if it's made me better, I would like to see if I could allow it to make other people better. Share the message.
Now, what is the easiest way? Say I'm a coach of, I don't know, you know, a team, a travel ball team, sixth grade basketball. And my plan is like, hey, I got a great group of kids.
Yep.
How do I like reach out or how do I try to get any training? Is it, do you need a big group to get like a workshop or, you know, how's that work? If you even know.
Yeah, I think I can speak a little bit to that. I mean, I think what Positive Coaching Alliance does well is they plug into a lot of the entry level or rec level programs where you have coaches that are, in a lot of cases, just a parent, you know, and you have to have that. I mean, that's how your organization thrives. I think Armor's pretty much that way.
Yep.
It's parent driven.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a good job of reaching those organizations. And I think that's at that grassroots level, it's, you know, that's probably going to be the first or second experience kids have within a sport, and their coach or, you know, they're going to determine whether or not they go forward with sports. If it's a bad experience, they might, like, that's it. 100%. That's how important it is. So I really like that aspect of Positive Coaching Alliance, that they're really reaching out to grassroots levels, trying to, you know, get everybody incorporated regardless of their position in life, socioeconomic background. They're going into places where, you know, there's a great need for help and assistance. So I like that about them. You can always go to their website just to, you know, they've got books and materials and YouTube channel where you can access a lot of their tools.
Ooh, okay. Sparked my interest with the YouTube channel.
I'm like, okay. I mean, and it's got good, quick, you know, clips and content. But I think, you know, that Ryan is kind of the guy, the central managers, you know, that go out and reach out to organizations, but individuals can certainly go to those platforms and you can learn a lot just on your own, digging around YouTube University.
Gotcha. Yeah. Love it. And I guess it would make sense if you're, you know, maybe a group of parents, three parents that are coaching this sixth grade team and you want to continue on, it would probably make sense to just kind of, you know, tackle a lot of the information, you know, as, you know, a group of three.
Yeah.
and cause I feel like we had a big group at the workshop that you guys did for us.
Nice.
So,
nice.
But man, I mean, for me, before we kind of close out, I just, while I have you here, and there's a lot of coaches that I kind of want to interview and, you know, some I'm like, will they actually say yes to come in here and talk to me? Yeah. But thank you for doing that. Was there moments where you're just like, I don't know. Even in your successful years at Strongsville, not saying you're not successful now, but different role.
Yep.
Were you just like, you know, hey, the pressure of this position it's not worth it. Or, hey, I just don't want to do this anymore. Or is it just like moments where you're like, oh, you might have those feelings, but it never was like a real thing. Like when I'm playing baseball, there's moments where I'm like thinking about a backup plan. Like, this isn't really working out. I suck. Yeah. I need to do something else.
Yeah.
Cause now I got kids here and you know, if I'm not doing what I need to do on the field, then we're not eating. So, did you have like moments where you were just like, I don't know.
Well, of course. I think we all do. Pretty much at the end of every season, you know, It's like, cause it's so long and you have to put in so much energy. I meant like a baseball season. I can't imagine 160 games. Like, it's like a marathon. You're like, you got to forget your last one before you want to go tackle another one. I would think.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, that's, I've watched a lot of games. Me being not a position player, I feel bad for those guys who actually have to play 160 games. But me being a pitcher, I think the most I ever appeared in games was like, you know, 60 games.
Yeah.
And that's when I was a reliever and I was in there and I was pitching really well. So they were just throwing me out there. But I know the endurance that it takes physically, but mentally is where I feel the struggle.
So by and large, my experience at Strongsville was absolutely amazing. Like, I got to coach with my best friend for 17 years.
That's true.
We still talk, you know, every day.
Anything bad you want to say about him? No, I'm joking.
No way, man.
I'm joking. He's amazing.
You know, he coached my daughters when he was a head coach. It's kind of cool. Like, you know, 9 years in, he just got busy because he had four kids, two of which play big time hockey, and the other two boys play big time hockey, and the two girls played soccer, and they played for us. And his kids, my kids were a little older than his. So 9 years in, he was just, I can't keep the top spot. So we reversed roles.
Okay.
And I became the head coach. He was my assistant, which that probably has failed more often than it's been successful. But I think because we were such good friends, we were able to put our egos aside and just, you know, let's get it done. Let's keep this thing going. And we did for another 8 years. And it was magic. I really don't, you know, there's always hard times. But by and large, my experience there was just absolutely phenomenal. So many great people and great players and experiences. It was magic.
I take it you guys were able to communicate well, though.
Oh, yeah.
Since, you know, the friendship was already there and there's no awkward, you know, situation. I mean, I'm sure there's awkward situations, but when you have a great friendship, and you're able to share things and kind of not attack, but point out like, hey, man, you know, either this is where I'm struggling. Do you see that? Or, hey, I need you to pick it up here and then not be a, and I'm assuming that's where your egos, you know, got put aside because, you know, like this is positive criticism and constructive criticism. And I think that's very important is communication. Oh, and I'm working on communicating in all different ways. Obviously this is one, but I look at this as just conversation stuff, but I give speeches and stuff like that. But the thing that's most important to me is communicating to your loved ones and close ones, because it seems easier because it's not always authentic when we're out in the public. And I'm just always naturally smiling and nice to everyone. But then I feel when I'm at home, I don't act like, I don't reciprocate that same behavior when I'm at home. You know, I'm like getting on my kids.
Yeah.
Is there, you know, moments where, you know, you were with your daughter and you had the windshield time where she can't leave. She's in the car and she's just got to listen to you. Were there any times where you were like, I was a little hard on her there?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's something I think that every parent has to navigate, you know, for sure. I mean, my wife, you know, she had the code, you know, Todd, you got to go for a walk. That was my code. I got to go. Those were in the days where I had to learn, you know, but I think at the end of the day, I've come out on the other side. You know, I'm very lucky that my wife and I are very lucky. Our daughters still want to hang around us and, you know, they've chosen great guys to get married to. And, you know, we're lucky, very, awesome. Very lucky. So yeah, we had those moments. I'll never forget. We were at Geneva. My daughter was playing and I was filming her game because you know, aspirations go to college, whatever.
Yeah.
And corner kick, she heads the ball out, which is great defensive head ball, but her headband or pre-rep fell off and the ball is still bouncing around and she bends down to pick up her pre-rep off the floor. I went bananas because I'm like, you're still on the play. What are you doing at it? But the bad thing is this was all on tape. I'm not, that was a low moment for me because my wife's like, you got to listen to this. And she played it back for me. And I was like, man, I'm an idiot. What an idiot dad. So yeah, you do have those moments where you have to learn through your failures. And I've failed a bunch, man.
Yeah.
Failed a bunch, but.
And you just hope the kids can forgive you. Like,
well, yeah, that one took a while. And I guarantee if you asked her, she'd be happy to tell you the details.
Oh man. Well, I kind of want to wrap this up, but what is next? I mean, you're going to stay assistant at Elyria. Do you have any aspirations or other things that you, you know, maybe have interested in or interest in that you might want to tackle? If there's a bigger role at PCA, you love what you're doing there right now.
Yeah.
What's next for Todd Church?
Well, I think this, I'm happy where I'm at in Elyria, you know, career wise as an assistant principal. I love it because I get to do a lot of the stuff. It's not a lot different than Positive Coaching Alliance. The materials, the way you go about things, you ask questions and you're positive and all that stuff. So that's good. I'm happy coaching. And I do like doing these coaching workshops. I want to keep delving into this more and, you know, keep sharing the message. Like, it made me so happy to come down with you guys at Armor and just see that room full of people that were, you know, it was very nice of you to say it was a nice workshop, but the reality was it was a good workshop because the energy in that room was so good. Those people were bought in. That makes me really happy that there's people out there in youth sports that value, you know, the social emotional side, the character development side, and, you know, still having high standards, but being positive at the same time. So that made me happy. So if I can keep spreading that message, I'd be very happy. I don't know where it'll take me. Who knows?
I like that. So for me, it's important because, you know, obviously I have kids and I've been a part of those. I will say my wife is more capable, or I would say more apt to, you know, getting a little aggressive at the games, you know, okay, than I am. Yeah. I mean, I did kind of get after Purse at our last game. But we were short staffed, I'll say.
Okay.
Where I'm just like, hey, walk the ball up the court. Don't pick your guy up too early. Let's conserve some energy. But you always hear those stories, whether it's social media or someone you've personally experienced, when you're just trying to watch your kids' games when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, where there's just some, like you said, idiot parent. And it's just like, you know, or a coach. And yeah, you're just like, now I'm like, okay, they need PCA.
Yes.
So, you know, if I see that happen, I might just shoot them a little message like, hey, man, you know, maybe you contact this, look up some of this information.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're a great coach and I know you love doing this, but this might be able to help. No. Yeah. You know, so I think what PCA is doing and, you know, you being a part of that, I think it's very beneficial for society. And, you know, I hope that they continue to stretch as far as possible and reach as many youth sports programs as possible. And just looking to see, keep youth sports growing, because like we said earlier, that's where you're, would you call it the lab?
Yeah, lab for life.
Lab for life.
Yeah.
And I think you said that too at the workshop. Yep. So
I
love that. But I want to say thank you for coming on the show. You know, it's pretty cool to be in the presence of a state champ.
I had a lot of help getting there. And it's a pleasure being here. And I tell you, I'm so impressed with, like, you yourself, you know, coming, you know, hometown hero in Dover, Ohio, and then makes it to the bigs and then comes back and reinvests in his community. And I just think that speaks a lot about you. So it's an honor for me to be here, man. I really appreciate you.
Well, it's a good thing that Josh has built here. You know, I'll give credit where credit's due. I just enjoy this. I love talking, number one.
Okay.
And I love learning more so than I did when I was younger,
yep,
which is kind of typical.
Yeah, I think so.
But this is an opportunity for me to pick the brains of people who are doing things that, you know, I admire and, you know, just keep going from there. So whether it's, I want to hear the side of a story of a, you know, one of my teammates that I played with in pro ball or another sport. I think the last episode we just did was with one of my pitching teammates who actually got traded away. So we didn't get to make our debut together. Mm. He got to make it for the Yankees and I made it for the Indians. So, but I just love to see those guys succeed. And I've always been that type of person where I always feel like there's room for everybody to shine.
Yeah.
And I just love this, you know, having this platform. I hope it grows bigger one day, but
I love it.
I know there's a way that I could do that, but I don't want to. I enjoy the content I make. I don't want to make content just to get clicks, because I don't know. This is just not. I just don't want to, I want to keep stuff positive, just like PCA. So,
well, follow your why, man.
Yeah.
Follow your why.
Well, great. For episode 101, 102, 103, whatever the episode this is. Thank you, Todd. Thank you guys for continuing to come back to the podcast. I appreciate all the support. I always forget to say this at the beginning of the podcast, but please like and subscribe. We're going to continue to do this, this podcast. And I'm going to also continue to add other content, whether that's pitching tips or maybe I'll be doing some live streams. And also make sure you follow me on my social medias and Todd on his one.
Very small X.
But thank you guys, and we'll see you next time. Peace. Say me casa, su casa. It feels like casa blanca. Shouting, you my little mama. She be on that Henny. I like that Corona. I love her smell. Inhale the aroma.